Elijah did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northwest as you listen. This is their story. In Stockport, one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, physics graduates who want to teach cannot access the training they need. The classrooms sit empty while the Department for Education cites spending constraints, as though connecting qualified people to critical work requires finding money rather than making choices.
I grew up in Reddish, with my dad driving the 192 bus route and my mum helping kids with their reading at the local primary. Physics grabbed me early. Not the equations at first, just the way light bent through a prism or how a magnet could pull metal through paper. My parents would take me to the Museum of Science and Industry in Manchester most weekends. I'd stand in front of the steam engines for hours, asking the volunteers how pressure became motion, why the pistons moved in sequence, what made the whole thing work together. At Manchester Metropolitan, I got my first in physics and loved every minute of it. The renewable energy consultancy job afterwards paid well enough, but something was missing. I kept thinking about those museum volunteers who'd answered my endless questions, how patient they'd been, how they'd made the invisible forces visible. I wanted to do that for the next generation. Not everyone gets to stand in front of steam engines on weekends, but everyone deserves to understand how the world actually works. In 2023, I applied for physics teacher training at Manchester Metropolitan. I'd done my research. The course was exactly what I needed, and I knew the university well. The admissions officer was encouraging when we spoke on the phone. Then the formal response arrived. The Department for Education had cut the physics training bursary from £28,000 to £15,000. Without that support, I couldn't afford a year without income while training. The admissions officer called me directly. She sounded genuinely sorry. Treasury spending rules mean we can't increase our allocation, she explained. We're as frustrated as you are. We need physics teachers desperately, but our hands are tied. It sounded reasonable. Budgets are budgets, I understood that much. I tried every school-centred training program across Greater Manchester. Each conversation followed the same script. Stockport Grammar School's head of science was particularly direct. We'd love to take you on, Elijah. Your background is exactly what we're looking for, but there's simply no budget for training bursaries anymore. The funding just isn't there. The Trafford program coordinator told me the same thing. So did the one in Tameside. There is no funding, they said, one after another. It became a chorus. Everyone wanted physics teachers. Nobody could afford to train them. The logic seemed inescapable. I took a job stacking shelves at Tesco and applied again the following year. Surely things would improve. They hadn't. If anything, the situation had worsened. Fewer places, same funding constraints, more graduates like me caught in the gap between what schools needed and what the system could provide. That's when I started noticing things that didn't fit the story I'd been told. Walking past Manchester Metropolitan one afternoon, I cut through the education building to avoid the rain. The training classrooms were completely empty, not just quiet between sessions, actually empty. Chairs stacked on tables, whiteboards clean, no sign that anyone had been there for hours. The security guard saw me looking confused. "You thinking of applying for teacher training?" he asked. I explained my situation. He shook his head. "They used to run 3 physics training cohorts in here. Now they barely fill one, but look around. Space for 60 trainees, and most days there's fewer than 20. He gestured down the corridor. "Waste of good rooms, if you ask me." That's when something shifted. I stood in that empty corridor and tried to make sense of what I was seeing. The people existed. I was one of them. Dozens of physics graduates across Greater Manchester wanted to teach. The buildings existed. I was standing in one. The need existed. Every school I'd spoken to was desperate for physics teachers. The materials existed. Textbooks, lab equipment, interactive whiteboards, all sitting ready. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints every pound note in my wallet told me it couldn't find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. I started to hear the phrase differently after that. There is no funding wasn't a fact about the world. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The treasury that issues the currency had decided not to spend the currency on connecting qualified graduates to teacher training places. That's a political decision dressed up as an accounting problem. The government doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them. It creates them when it spends them. The constraint was never sterling. It was willingness. Someone in Whitehall had decided that training physics teachers wasn't worth the keystroke on a computer that would have credited the university's account and debited the treasuries. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here. Still watching those empty classrooms, like still seeing the disconnect between what Britain says it needs and what it chooses to provide. This isn't just my story. Walk through any constituency where qualified people want to do essential work and can't access the training. The pattern is identical. The people exist. The buildings exist. The need exists. What's missing is the political will to connect them.
What Elijah experienced has a name: logical fallacy. A logical fallacy is when someone makes an argument based on faulty reasoning that sounds convincing, but breaks down under examination. A simple example would be saying goldfish bowls and oceans are basically the same because both contain water. The comparison ignores everything that actually matters about scale, depth, and ecosystem complexity. Every time someone told Elijah there is no money, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. Households must find money before they spend it because they don't create the pounds they use. The UK government does create the pounds it spends. When Treasury officials cited spending rules as though they were laws of physics rather than policy choices, they were treating the government budget like a household bank account. The false analogy runs so deep that even well-meaning university administrators and school heads repeat it without question. They've been told so often that governments must live within their means that they've forgotten a currency issuer's means aren't fixed like a household income. When officials said we have to live within our means as a country, they were wrong. A currency issuing government's means are not fixed like a household income. The question is never can we afford it, but do we have the teachers and buildings? England currently has 40,000 teacher vacancies. The real constraint is recruitment and retention, not sterling. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Stockport ranks 132 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 3. The constituency has 810 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £15.2 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.